Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Please God. And I got to tell you that right up front, there are certain things in this book, in this Bible, and I understand we have people here and people that listen beyond this place, and some people don't even believe the Bible's true. It's full of errors, they think, or how could, you know, something so old written by so many people possibly be held together? And I see some of their concerns. I understand where they're coming from. But, you know, if you believe God can create the universe, then you think he could get a book written. So it's really not a big stretch for me to believe it's true. But even if you agree that it's true, you say, well, I believe the Bible is true. It's truth. It's absolute truth. And there are a lot of people who say that. They will proclaim the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that. And some of us will go to the mat and defend the Scriptures and say, in general, the Bible is true. And some will go beyond that on specific issues, either that they don't have problems with and can defend with all their heart and mind and strength, will go to the mat for those. But when you say you believe the Bible and you make a choice to obey the Bible and do what God wants you to do in your life, then you got some problems. Because at some point, my life, your life, our lives, in just almost a clashing sort of way, it all comes to a head, and reality confronts truth, and where truth is not going to change, we are forced to change. And there are some things in Scripture that are clearly impossible. And I will start out by saying that. If you are ever going to live the Christian life, I got to tell you right up front, it's impossible. You will not in your own strength figure out a way, as I've said to people and grew up hearing this, you know, so-and-so doesn't act like a Christian. This is not drama. It's life. We're not here to teach you how to act and play a part. We are here to encourage one another to live a life. But the only way to live this life is to be connected to the life, the way, the truth, which is Christ himself. And if he's not living in you and you're not getting out of the way and let him live through you, and it's not by his power and his strength and by faith in him, it will never happen. You will not live the Christian life. You may fake it. I may pull it off and make people think everything's okay, but sooner or later, it's going to crumble and fall. And there are things in the Scripture even recently that we've been plowing through, and maybe you've been plowing through, and you look at them and you go, God, there is no way. And one of the things I've, at least in talking through this and looking through this, there are passages you come to and you know it's God, you know it's true, and you look at it and you say, almost, please God, don't let this be true. Because the ramifications are, if this is true and if my life has got to change, it's going to be painful. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to have to admit I was wrong maybe in some areas. One of the toughest things, for instance, teenagers at least, or young adults or older adults, it doesn't matter, is the simple concept, for instance, of no sex outside of marriage. The whole world's lost its mind. And everybody just sleeps with everybody, and in what used to be almost hush-hush maybe 100 years ago, or kind of, you know, no one broadcast it. Now it's all over TV. Nobody even cares. It's just the thing to do. And when the Scriptures, when the truth invades a culture and says, you know what? You know it's not working. There may be pleasure associated with it. It doesn't work. And here's what God says. The best place, the only place for sex is in a marital relationship. And people read the Bible and you say that, and you think, well, if I get up and say that, the church is going to empty, because people will say, what are you thinking? What world are you living in? Sure, it may say that, but you can't do it. You can't live a pure life. You can't do what God expects you to do, because it just doesn't happen. You're dreaming. You're too idealistic. The standard's so high, but nobody's going to hit it. So let's eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. And besides, Jesus died to make grace and mercy and forgiveness possible. So even if I screw up, you know what? All I got to do is just say, hey, God, I did it again. Sorry. I know you got to forgive me. You're stuck, God. And we just abuse this grace.
But sooner or later, when it's not a flippant approach to God or a flippant approach to sin, but you realize that you're dealing with a holy God, and this holy God, this pure God, comes to us and picks us, chooses us, draws us to himself. We believe, we receive this gift of eternal life. We enter into a relationship, and he looks at us and says, "You are holy. You are perfect. You are complete. You are everything you need to be." And we look in the mirror and go, "I don't know who you're looking at, but I don't get it. I don't see that." And he declares us holy. Now, I am holy, but I can tell you things in my life that don't seem very holy or not very holy. They still got to get cleared up. So what has to happen? There is a process. And God is patient, clearly, in that process. And there is mercy in that process. There is grace in that process. There's a word the Bible uses, and we use it, it's a word of sanctification. That's just the process of turning each of us into what God declared us to be. And he says, "You're holy." And we say, "No, I'm not." He says, "Well, give me some time through the truth working in and through your life, and I'm going to turn you into what I say you are." Now, guys, if that is the case, it would be like me picking somebody out here as out of shape as I am and saying, "You are an Olympic athlete." And you say, "No, I am not." And I say, "Yes, you are." Now, a couple of things are going to have to happen. I can say you're on the team, you're an Olympic athlete. We don't know which games you're going to be in, clearly, because it may take a while. But if you will submit yourself to the authority of a coach, of a trainer, of someone who knows how to turn you into an Olympic athlete, your life is going to change. And there are things going to have to stop. Things are going to have to start. Things are going to have to go. It's going to dramatically change. There's going to be a patient process, but there is a way to declare someone something, and then God, when he is the one doing it, turn them into that. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. A true servant that loves his master and knows the master loves the servant will do everything in his power to serve, to please that master. Now, let me tell you who the master is. God is the master. And my desire, if I am truly his child, is to please God. Now, how am I going to please God if I know he loved me enough to send his only son, Jesus, God in the flesh, born of a virgin, lives a perfect sinless life, doesn't deserve to die, gets crucified on this cross, shed his blood to pay for my sin. They bury him. 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. And because of these things that God has allowed to happen, Jesus chose to do, I have eternal life, the gift of eternal life made available to me. If I will receive it, ask him to come live in me and through me, he'll live in me, through me, change my life, change my forever, and me and God got a relationship. If that's ever happened in your life, then there is a built-in somewhere, somehow, unless you have tried to block it out, there is a desire, a willingness to please God, to serve God, to obey God, to turn your life over to him, because you understand what happened in this transaction when he sacrificed himself for you. If your desire is to please God, then how are you going to do it? Now let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Why did this happen in Enoch's life? He had lived by faith, and somehow he had managed to please God, and God didn't require him to die, just pulled him out. But look at verse 6, and this is where I want us to look, especially today. Verse 6 says this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, the word, I think we know what faith is. It's what it says in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. There are people in this room today and beyond here listening. Your marriage, for instance, is completely falling apart. It's been dead for years. There is no feeling. There is no emotion. There are people I talk to who haven't had sex in 6 years. There is nothing going on. You say, "God, there is no marriage. What are you talking about marriage? We exist together." And for me to sit down with that couple and say, let me tell you what you see, but let me tell you what faith sees, that God can take your hard heart, his hard heart, her hard heart, whoever it is, and soften your heart and restore that relationship and give you a love for each other and where intimacy that didn't even seem possible is returned. You say, I don't believe that. And I say, that's the point. You only say and see what you say and what you see and never bother to stop and say, God, I can't change the other person. If you want me to love him, you're going to have to give me a love for him and change my heart. But I'm telling you, I'm willing. I want to please you, God, not me. And the scripture says that if you want to please God without faith, it is impossible. And the word here impossible means without strength, impotent, powerless, weakly, disabled, unable to be done, impossible. It's impossible. If you don't start out going to God with faith, you will never please him because he is going to challenge you with truth and things that you cannot do by yourself. And he will allow us to get into situations that, frankly, the only reason we're there is because we can't get out. We can't fix it. And he says, what are you going to do? And he is desperate for us to say to him, I'm not going to do anything because there's nothing I can do by myself. I trust you, God. And then he intervenes and with his power and his might and his strength does things that could never happen any other way. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And the word to please means to be well-pleasing, to be well-pleased with a thing. And as a father, I see this happen. When my little girls walk in with a little picture they've drawn or something they've done, or daddy, I jumped and running down the hall. Remember when you were a kid and you'd run and try to hit the top of the door deal? And finally, one day, you ran down there and reached up. Whoo, and you clipped it like you lost a nail doing it, but you hit it. And my little girl's running down a hall and, daddy, I touched it. Good job. You did a good job. And just the thing that wells up in you, somebody encouraging you. And to know that when you live by faith, God looks down and you hear it in your heart. And it's God going, good job. I'm so excited for me and for you and for us because you're believing that what I say is true and you're trusting me and you're living by faith. And it's pleasing to me and it's good for you. And this isn't a religious arrangement. It's a relationship. And I know you and you know me and you know I want better for you than anybody in the world. And where it seems impossible and everybody around you is telling you, get out, quit, go with it, do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. I'm telling you, don't listen to them. Listen to me and trust me because they didn't let their kid die for you. I did. And I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to stick with you and I'm going to help you. And you say, God, you're right. I got nowhere else to go. Okay, let's do it. And it's painful. Where did we get the idea that living the Christian life, somebody has done a tremendous disservice to the family of God, the body of Christ, in saying, give your life to Jesus. You live in heaven forever and you'll be happy now. It's not true. You can have joy in the midst of no matter how much pain comes my way or your way, but you are going to suffer in this life. With or without Jesus. And when you choose Christ, there is a certain amount of suffering. The difference is the world suffers for naught, for nothing. We suffer. We see why sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But the relationship I have with Christ that you can have with God and with Christ makes us able to, in spite of that situation, have joy and say, Father, I thank you. I praise you. I talked to a woman who is ready to do all sorts of terrible things to her husband. Let's just leave it at that. Been married a long time. She was spitting bullets through the phone. I had to hold it away not to get hit. And I talked to her for a little while and we went through this. And finally, as gently as I could, said, you know what? The book says to me, and I don't like it sometimes, and you're not going to like it either. But the book says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, that's easy to spit out. But when she's got to sit down and want to wring his neck, no relationship with him for years, existing in a house, and she gets in a closet by herself and says, Father, in spite of everything I see, I thank you for my husband. I praise you for my husband. I love you, God, and I'm asking you to give me a love for him. And begin to, instead of to get angry and bitter and let a bitter root take root in her heart and life, she begins to do what God says is his will. Now, let me tell you something. That takes some faith. You're not going to do that without some faith. Because the people you want to kill, the boss you want to hang up out a window somewhere, whatever your deal is, the kid that's driving you crazy in your house, when you say, Father, I thank you, I praise you. It unleashes some stuff, though, I'm telling you guys, whether the situation ever changes or not, God changes you in the situation.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, okay, you say you're coming to God, then you got to believe that he is. If he doesn't exist, he's not going to help you. So you start simple things here. You must believe that he is. And secondly, he says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You say, God, enough's enough. The world doesn't have it. The answers are not here. I'm after you. I'm going to diligently, with all of my heart, come after you. You know what he says? When you do that, you believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him in that way. He's going to reward you. You live by faith. You please God and he steps in and things happen that by yourself you never could have made happen. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then it's back to the issue. It's faith. You refuse to take a step of faith and believe that God can do it. And the problem is, though God will never love you any more or any less than he does right now where you are, you will never move spiritually. You will never grow. You will be a stick in the mud till the day you die or move on that issue. Now, let me give you some examples of the impossibilities of this just in this chapter alone. We read one of them in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. See, some of you go, well, of course. You know what? There are people out there who think you are nuts if you say you believe that God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning God. You're crazy. You can't prove that. It's nothing but faith in what some book says. But you say you believe that. Look at another one down in verse 7. This is one of the nuts of the Bible. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the whole world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You want to talk about a challenge. God spoke to me and told me to build a boat in a desert for my family to be saved, and we're going to get all the animals and sail away, and everybody will be killed but us, but that's the deal. Let's build a boat. You want some criticism, some ridicule, do what God tells you to do and build a boat. But we read that and go, well, sure that happened. I've heard that story since I was a kid. The people out there will think you're nuts if you say you believe that. But what happened? It rained. It flooded the world. What God said was going to happen happened. And because Noah obeyed, he was spared. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham. One of these other crazy things in the Bible. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You don't do that. You don't just say, well, God told me to leave and we'll just see where we get to. God said, Abraham, leave. I've got a place for you. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. He took a step. God said, Abraham, go. He could have said, well, no, God, I can't risk that. I got to stay. Because what if you don't, and what if you don't, and what if you don't do this or that? And you know what? If God doesn't do what he says he's going to do, we're all in trouble. Look down at 17, another Abraham crazy story. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his only son of promise that God said he would multiply his seed and fill the earth. God tells him, go human sacrifice your son. How do you do that? Let me tell you something. You don't do it without faith. Now, obviously, when you get there, he didn't have to go through with it. He tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. What did basically Abraham say? Okay, God, this kid's not my kid anyway. I didn't get him here without you. You promised him, you say kill him, I'll kill him, because you know what? If he's dead, I believe you can raise him from the dead, and if that's what it takes, fine, now it's your problem. You are taking these problems and the responsibility of doing God's job on yourself. Give it back. And the only way to do that is by faith. If you're not going to believe God for the answers, then you're going to have to come up with them yourself. In the last almost 6 years in the life of this church, there have been times when financially, there are moments when the devil gets in my head and says, well, you made it this far, it ain't gonna happen anymore. It's crater and you're gonna have to get up and beg for money and do all that. And for a split second, I think, oh, what am I gonna do? And God says, you know what? Since when was this your church anyway? And if I'm done with it, it's done. If I'm not, I'll take care of it. You pray to me, you ask me, you trust me, you keep your eye on the ball and keep moving, I'll take care of that. And he is taking care of that. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. How does a mom
with a three-month-old baby, build a little basket, put tar all over it, seal it up, put it in a river, and sail it away. Crocodiles, all kind of junk in a river. And say, God, I trust you. Let me tell you something. That is an act of faith. That is insane. It's not possible. Think of the agony. But you say, God, either I can trust you or I can't. And God came through miraculously. Look at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. You go back and read that story. And God said, march around the city one time every day for 7 days. Don't say a peep. The seventh day, go around seven times and then blast the horns and the walls will come down. You're nuts for believing this stuff. It's irrational. It's not possible. There's no rhyme or reason except that God said, do it. And they did it. And he did his part. That's all I'm saying. You open the book, you read the book, and it smacks you in the face. And everything that you feel and know and see says, it isn't going to happen. And God says, if you want to please me, you're going to have to trust me and see what I can do, not just what you can do. Now look, it gets tougher down in verse 35, kind of in the middle of 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. These people are included in this chapter on faith. And how do you please God? You have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So some people in willingness to please God and in an act of faith, what did they do? They died. They were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. And all over the world, this moment, this isn't 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. Today, there are Christians who will probably give their lives because they will not say, I'd renounce Jesus Christ as Lord. And they will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and they'll get a bullet or they'll be tortured so severely they will die. It is reality now on this planet. And it is a step of faith where they say, Father, I would rather it cost me my life and be martyred for your name and not be ashamed of your name and die and end up under an altar somewhere in heaven crying out how long than to survive this moment and live with the fact that I had denied you and the result of that. Verse 36, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. When's the last time somebody came up to me or you and said, you know what, if you don't say you don't believe in Christ, we're going to take this buzzsaw and cut you in half. This is not some story. This is a story of things that, historical facts that happened. People were actually sawn in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. You say, well, that doesn't sound like I would be happy there. You see my point? We've turned happiness into this idol. Well, God, I don't want to read this passage anymore. I don't feel good anymore. If that were to happen to me, I wouldn't be comfortable, I don't think. If you really are about saying, my life is about you, God, I want to please God, this is a whole nother ball game.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, let me tell you how great this God of mine is and yours is. He says, you know what? Even if you curse me, shake your fist in my face, turn your back on me and walk away, I will always take you back. And there is always mercy, and there is always grace, and there is always forgiveness, and there is always love. But what we miscalculate is with all of those things, there is always consequence. At some point, the consequence of our deliberate or unintentional sinning intersects with the pain of our lives. And we say, you know what? I don't think this is that much fun anymore. I believe I'll obey. Now, why do we have to get it to that point? You don't have to get it to that point. You can go say, Father, I am diligently seeking you because I believe that you exist and I want to please you. And I realize it's impossible to please God without having faith. So Father, I'm telling you, I know what you're telling me in my head. I know it's going to be impossible, but I'm telling you, I want you. I want to please you, God. So I'm going to take this step of faith and I'm going to trust you. And all we have to do is make it one more day, because it's sufficient for today their evils are of. So I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, God. I just got to live this holy life that you've called me to today. And really, God, I can't even think about doing it all day. I'm going to think about doing it just this hour or one step at a time. And those step adds up to hours and to days and to weeks and to months and to years. And you know what? I'm going to look him in the eye one day and I'm going to hear, Lord willing, you pleased me. Well done, good and faithful servant. And as the old song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.